When a person comes to Calvary, he comes for salvation. And I'm afraid that far too often that's all we get. But if you'll notice very carefully around Calvary, there are other little trees growing too. There's the tree of peace that's right at Calvary. Of course, the main tree is the cross. But there's the tree of peace, and the tree of joy, and the tree of contentment, and the tree of satisfaction, the tree of happiness, the tree of fun. Every tree that you need to make your life happy, you'll find at the foot of the cross, the big tree. The writer of Song of Solomon said, "A bundle of myrrh is my beloved unto me." A bundle of myrrh. Not just one little stick. Bundle of it. And wrapped up in the gospel bundle is all that we need. Far too many of us think that you come to Christ, you get saved, but you got to trot back over in Egypt to have your fun. No, you don't. And I'm not talking about the bad things of Egypt. I'm talking about the good things in Egypt. Brother, there's nothing that Egypt has at its best that can compare with the worst day the child of God has in Christ. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. A lot of folks come to Christ, well, I'm saved, but I still got people oftentimes come to me and say, "Brother House, you think it's a sin to go to a carnival?" Well, now, I'm not preaching against carnivals tonight, and I'm not going to start talking about how wrong carnivals are. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can get so wrapped up in Christ, He'll be your carnival. People say, "Is it wrong to go to this place or to that place?" I'm not trying to say what's wrong tonight. I'm trying to say that when you ever get to the place where Jesus is everything, and you say, "I'm complete in Him, a bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me," then you won't have to eat from the devil's best garbage to get something for your spiritual vitamins. I'm saying the time has come when the gulf is getting too big between the world and the church for us to try to straddle the gulf. Did you ever go roller skating? Huh? And one skate started going this way, and one skate started going the other way. And they call that the splits where I came from. Now, I've never done that roller skating, but I went ice skating one time. And out here on this little pond, what's this park down? Maywood Park. Jim Lyons and I went one time. He took movies of me. I just went down one day. I promised I'd do it in a Sunday school contest or something. And you know, the first thing I realized, well, they put the skates at the wrong place. Because I spent more time scooting along on my posterior than I did on my feet. But after a while, you just start going, my one skate wanted to go yonder way, another skate wanted to go yonder way. And after a while, the gap was just too big, and I went yonder way. Now, the gulf between the world and the church is just too big to straddle anymore. Everything, I mean your fun, I mean your friends, I mean your mate, I mean your activities, I mean your joy, I mean your ha-ha as well as your boo-hoo, I mean everything that you want or need in this life, you will find in Christ. Complete in Him. Man, I long to have a church that doesn't have to go. I long to have a church that gets so wrapped up in Christ, we won't even wonder whether a bunch of stuff is wrong or not. I mean, we just get so wrapped up in all and all is Jesus, of Jesus. Well, I sing, everything is Jesus. Jesus is everything. I mean, He's all in all and everything. We're life in Christ. We have fun in Christ. We have activities in Christ. He's everything. Wycliffe put it this way. He said, "And ye been filled in Him. And ye been filled in Him." What a sentence. Complete in Him. Demosthenes said, "It is the word complete is a ship fully manned." A ship fully manned. Now, let me just take the word complete for a few minutes. And I want to show you tonight what this word, when the Lord says, "In Christ, we're complete." I want you to notice a few of the definitions of the Greek word complete. Complete. Now, whatever this word means, we have it in Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that we necessarily possess it, but it's ours. In the first place, it means exactly full. Exactly full. When a person comes to Christ, he gets in Christ more than forgiveness of sin, More than his name written in heaven, though he gets that. More than salvation from hell, though he gets that. More than redemption, more than forgiveness, more than justification, more than conversion, though he gets all of that. But let me tell you, my brother, when you come to Christ, God makes available for you, as the Song of Solomon writer said, my beloved is unto me as a cluster. My beloved is unto me as a cluster. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved. God gives you a cluster and a bundle, and in that bundle, God gives you everything you'll ever need. And you won't have to say anymore, what's wrong with? You'll be so busy doing things in Christ, you'll find such a full, complete life in Christ. When the devil comes up, you'll have to say, no vacancy. No vacancy. It means an exactly full. It likens the Christian life to a motel or a hotel. And it has so many rooms and so much space. The time comes when that Christian life gets so wrapped up with Christ and so full of good works and so full of good things and so full of his person and his presence. When the devil comes up and says, would you like to go to a certain place? You just say, no vacancy, devil. Everything's all full in my life. I have no need for anything else. It's a full house. Jude said, when we come to Christ, we ought to hate the garments that are spotted by the flesh. And when a person comes to Christ, surely get saved. That's wonderful. And I believe a person who comes to Christ for salvation, that's all he needs. But there's more to it than that. We ought to even hate the place from whence we came. Don't you recall when Moses led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt? He went to Pharaoh and he said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, okay. After a while, after all the plagues of Egypt and all the rest of it, except Pharaoh said, okay, but don't go very far. I mean, go on out and have your religion and worship your God, but don't go very far. And Moses said, we're going all the way. Well, Pharaoh said, okay, but look, don't take the kids. They might get hurt out there in the woods. And don't take the kids. Leave the kids here. And Moses said, not one single child shall be left. Okay. But he said, don't take your horses and your cattle. Leave your money here. And Moses said, I like this statement. He said, Pharaoh, not one hoof shall be left in Egypt. And that's what the Christian ought to say when he comes to Christ. He ought to say, not one hoof am I going to leave in Egypt. And I believe this with all my soul. I believe the day has come when the world is getting so rotten and so filthy that we as God's people are going to have to find just about everything we have in life at the feet of Christ and in his church with his people. Complete in Christ. Exactly full. He fills every room. A lot of you folks come to me and say, Brother House, you think it's wrong to go to a high school dance? Well, of course it's wrong. That's a high school dance, junior high dance, grade school dance, college dance, barber school dance, any kind of a dance. Of course it's wrong, but that won't be the issue. The trouble is, we need a generation of Christians who are so full of this book, they don't have time for much else. A fellow said, Brother House said, do you ever take a peek at Playboy magazine? Good night, I can't even find time to read Blue Denim and Lace. Which, by the way, next to the Bible, is the greatest book ever written in the history of the world. But I'm saying, I mean, if you get so full of this world, of this book, you won't have time to mess around. Listen, the best books that the world has, won't amount much to you if you get so full of this book. And if you get so full in this, St. Augustine said, O Lord, give me of thyself. Give me of thyself. And the longer I live, the more I want to just get wrapped up in Jesus and wrapped up in his book and wrapped up in his work and wrapped up in his word. There are a lot of right things to do and things not wrong to do, but I don't want to do them. Why? Because I'm complete in Christ. There's a second meaning of this word. It means more than exactly full. It means also a full crew. A full crew. Demosthenes said, a ship fully manned, as I said a while ago. A full crew. It means that here's a ship, and it has so many jobs available. And every job is filled. There's no room for anybody else. And so you put a sign up, not hiring today. There's no room for anything else. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that far too many fundamentalists are getting just inside the line of what's right and what's wrong, and tiptoeing just inside the line of what's right. When we need some people who are so wrapped up in Christ and so wrapped up in God's work, people come to me sometimes and say, Brother House, you think it's wrong to go to this type thing or to this type thing? Well, maybe it would not be negatively wrong, but wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you had so much fun in Christ and so much joy in Christ and so much peace in Christ and just his presence? Huh. Now here's a guy on a honeymoon. And
And he's wrapped up in his, what do you call it? Oh, his bride. Wrapped up in his bride. And so, I think I'm in trouble right now, they take off. They just got married. And hey, here they are. Who got married yesterday? Ron Floyd and April Simpson. And suppose last night they took off from the church, and Ron said, "April, you think it's wrong to go bowling?" And she said, "Well, I just don't bowl." Well, he said, "I never mind you going at all. I'm just going to go bowling myself." Huh? Now, is it a sin to go bowling? I don't think it's a sin to go bowling. But you reckon that Ron went bowling last night? Huh? Suppose Ron said, "April, I want to watch the Watergate hearings." And they're going to be on Channel 11 all night tonight. And I want to watch Watergate. And so he sits there, glued. She says, "Why don't you pay some attention to me?" He said, "What's wrong with watching Watergate?" Or suppose he went out and dug somewhere and went fishing during the night. Now, is it wrong to go fishing? Huh? Now, right here is your trouble. Right here is your trouble. You have a Savior who loves you and gave Himself for you, and He wants you to find in Him your fishing. He wants you to find in Him your joy. He wants you to find in Him your fun. And you say, "Is it wrong to go here?" Wrong. It may not be wrong, but good night. Why don't we find in Christ all we need? Everything in Jesus, and Jesus is everything. A full crew. Now, I've staked all on this truth in this town. People oftentimes say, "Brother Hiles, how can you take it? So many folks hate you." Well, nobody hates me. Nobody could hate a dear person like me. But how do you take it when folks hate you like they do? Because I don't get happy or sad according to how many folks love me or how many folks hate me. I am complete in Christ. People say, "Brother Hiles, you never have much fun." Well, you just don't know whether I have fun or not. I mean, you just don't know whether what I think, the fact that I find completeness in Christ. I may have more fun. The honest truth is, I love sports. Honestly, I love sports. And I love to bowl. I bowled one time the last 5 years. Bowled one time out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Curtis Goldman, doctor, took me bowling one night after the service. I bowled 219. So I'm not going to bowl anymore. I mean, 3 games is enough. But I bowled. No, I did bowl 219, one game, no joke. Then the second game was 31, and the third game was 42. But I mean, honestly, I love to bowl, and I'm not against bowling. But good night, man, I've got, bowling is 50th on the list of things I like to do. Why? Man alive, I only have one life to live. I'm not preaching against bowling tonight. I may go bowling tomorrow, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I hope I can get so wrapped up in Christ and find such completeness in Him. I'd a lot rather spend the time with Him. Full crew. Full crew. You know what I want for you? You see, now, immediately you start building your wall, don't you? I know what you do. You preach this morning against pork and against coffee, and tonight he's going to preach against bowling and fishing. And no, I'm not talking about that. I mean, I've got something for you. Now, you may want to go fishing sometimes. Quickly. Hurry. Like Pappy Revere used to say, "Lord, put the fish over here, quick. Because I got business to do, and I got to catch fish in a hurry." And I'm not against going fishing. I'm not against going bowling. But, you know, we are so wrapped up in such things. The average Christian, though he doesn't drink, though he doesn't curse, he's got to go to something in the world to make him happy. You can be complete in Christ. You say, "When would you go bowling?" I'd go bowling if some preacher, brother, wanted me to go, and he needed the fellowship with me. I'm having a tough time tonight. I don't want you to think I'm sanctified. I'm not. I was preaching it for the Nazarene group, and the preacher got up and said, "Dr. Hiles is sanctified and doesn't know it." And I got up and said, "Yeah, and you're secure and don't know it too." But I don't want to be sanctimonious, and I hate to get so far ahead of you that you wonder what I'm talking about. But there is such a thing as falling in love with Christ and this book so much that you have everything you need and want in Him. And anything else comes up and says, I want to end. You say, sorry, no vacancy. Sorry, not hiring today. More than I want a large Sunday school here at this church, I want Christians that mean business for God. All across this country, people say to me, or about me, they say, Hiles builds a big church, but he's shallow. His people are shallow. I defy that. I deny it. It's not true. I 10,000 times rather you know what it is to walk with God and know His book and fellowship with Him and find completeness in Him. I'd rather have that than a big Sunday school. I want you to be the kind of Christians that, look, God made you for fellowship with Himself. That's what it's all about. I want you to be the kind of Christian that satisfy that hunger in the heart and the nature of God for His people to fellowship with Himself. And I want you to enjoy it. I want you to like it. I always think about my Aunt Jimmy. She's in heaven now, God bless her. But she came to my mother one time and said, Costell, that's my mother's name, pity her. But she said, Costell, she said, Jack doesn't drink, does he? And mother said, no, Jimmy, he doesn't. And she said, Jack doesn't smoke, does he? And she said, no, he doesn't. And she said, Jack doesn't play cards, does he? And she said, no, he doesn't. And she said, Jack doesn't go to the movies, does he? And she said, no, he doesn't. And Aunt Jimmy wiped a tear and she said, poor Jack. No, not poor Jack. I found something better than all that garbage. See, I mean, I found something that makes me enjoy life. I dare you to walk around with me. I dare you to follow me and see if I don't have more fun in life than all the folks have to go back to Egypt to have their fun. Listen, if you ever cross one Red Sea on dry ground, you'll never care about Egypt again. You know that? One little boy, he's a Nazarene kid, and he went to a picture show, and he came home and said, Mama, if you ever went to the picture show one time, you'd never want to go to prayer meeting anymore. now, I just reversed that, and it's true. If you ever one time see a Red Sea parted, that's all the excitement you'll ever need. I mean, you won't care about Egypt. If you ever one time see a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, you won't ever care about going back to Egypt. If you ever one time were to see manna falling from heaven every morning and enough on the day before the Sabbath for 2 days, and if you ever one time saw a rock smitten and water coming out to feed 3.5 million Jews, if the trouble with most of us, we never have one time tasted what it's like to live on heavenly manna. And so we go back to the old garbage can in Egypt and keep pulling out the onions, cucumbers, leeks, watermelons, boys, and garlic. You never one time. If we ever do it, then you'll never want to taste the old onions and cucumbers. It means a full crew. Number three, the word complete means completely furnished. Completely furnished. It likens the Christian life to a house. And when you come to Christ, He has enough furniture to completely furnish your house. Now, if you go back to Egypt and get some furniture, that means you've got to take out some of the furniture Christ has for you. All you need is in Christ. You don't have to go outside. Now, let me just make it a little practical. I've come to this place in my life, and I've risked my ministry on this. And here's what makes folks not understand me, and here's why folks get mad at me. But I believe with all of my soul that the Christian people had better not participate in the organizations run by the world, even though they may be good in themselves. I'm thinking now of a boy in our church, one of the finest boys we ever had, who decided to go into drama at the public school, and it ruined him. Now, moms and dads, the public school is sorry enough nowadays where you better just put your kid in a Christian school in the first place. But if for any reason you can't afford to put your child in a Christian school, then you tell your child, you go to school, and you learn, and you come home, but don't you let him participate in extracurricular activities. You say, well, what's wrong? You're going to find out. You're going to find out. I know a boy who went to college and got wrapped up in the drama department in college. It ruined him. I know people who joined bowling leagues. Now, I'm saying, okay, go ahead. Say I'm a nut. Say I felt a screwball. Yeah, I'm glad you think I am. But you go ahead. And any kind of organization that you need, you can find here in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, within the body of Christ. And if you can't, you're playing with dynamite in this age if you go out and join up with it. Now, I think a Christian, for example, I don't think it's a sin to join a bowling league that's not a Christian bowling league, but I think you're playing with dynamite, and the world is so wicked nowadays, I don't think you ought to mess with it. Well, you say, what's wrong? Get so wrapped up in Christ, you won't need that. I was a Boy Scout when I was a kid. Troop 107. And I'll never forget the day I got my first Boy Scout outfit. Man, I had to, remember we used to wear those short breeches, and my legs are something to behold. And, well, I can recall when I first got a Boy Scout outfit. We had the caps that sort of like Forest Ranger caps, you know, bill all around and a string under here. And, man, I was a Boy Scout. I walked down the street, and I knew everybody was saying, that's the best-looking kid in town. I was so self-conscious, I walked like this. I mean, boy, I just knew everybody was saying, I was a Boy Scout. Troop 107, a fire station in Oak Cliff in Dallas, Texas. But back in those days, brother, did you know that you are just as likely to have a Christian Boy Scout leader, Scoutmaster, as you were to have an unconverted Boy Scoutmaster? And I joined the Boy Scout troop. It was sponsored by a fire station. It just so happened Vernon Davis, not the Vernon Davis here, but a good one. Vernon Davis was his name. Vernon Davis was my scoutmaster. I'd never seen him before, but he was a born-again believer and a preacher of the gospel on the side, fireman and priest on the side. You know how Burnside, firemen just play checkers all day long, nothing to do. And was born-again Christian in a Boy Scout troop. Now, you find me some Boy Scout troops now. Your chance of having a born-again Christian in charge of a Boy Scout troop almost nil today. Why? The day was when you went to school. The chances were 2 to 1 you'd have a Christian school teacher. But no longer. The dirty communists have taken over our universities and corrupted our young people, and they're sending by the thousands, they're sending atheistic school teachers and even communistic school teachers, long-haired, short-skirted, hippie characters into our schools, and no longer can you trust as you used to the other organizations. I do not recommend at all any parent to allow his child to have any activities in any organizations, no matter how good, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Brownies, Little League. I said it. You say, you must be some kind of a fanatic. I am. I am so fanatical, I am not willing to chance losing one of our kids. I can tell you, boys, we have lost from this church for good. We have lost them through these organizations. I can tell you, girls that have joined bowling leagues and skating rinks and skating clubs and all the rest of it. And I want to go a step further and say to you adults, too, you just be wise if you just cancel out every flower club you belong to and every old plate club and antique club you belong to and just join the WMS. I mean, the world is so rotten now, you cannot live the... Listen, you say, I don't believe you. I dare you, I'll double dog dare you to show me the people in this room tonight who've lined themselves up with organizations outside the church, and in practically every case, I know some meanness they've already gotten into. I know it. I'm talking about motorcycle clubs. I'm talking about organization. You say, what's wrong? Why don't you get so wrapped up in soul winning and the Bible and the things of God? You don't have time for the world. You'd get a big kick out of falling the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. You wouldn't have to worry about even the good part of Egypt. And by the way, that's one reason why that you end up back in Egypt too. When you look back to the good part of Egypt, you're looking in the same direction where the bad part is. You don't like that? Sorry. We don't have curb service nor menus. I'm just recommending you get wrapped up in Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that for a Christian. Now, you've got to go to work, okay. You've got to go to school, okay. But you don't have to join and every old club and hobnob with every old motorcycle club and hound dog club and greyhound racers and rooster fighting and every old club in the neighborhood and get your kids all wrapped up with heathen kids, and you get wrapped up with heathen people, you mark it down, you're heading for trouble. And the very people tonight that are blessing the most are already in trouble because they're backsliding, because they have built their lives outside the body of Christ.
Complete in Christ means completely furnished. Good night. Look, if I've got Duncan Fife, early American, French, provincial, birch, mahogany furniture, why do I need to go back to the garbage place, garbage dump, and a used furniture store to get me some furniture? I've got a house full of furniture. My life is full tonight. I don't need anything else. I'm full, complete in Christ. And that's all you need too, by the way. Oh, give us a bunch of people. Let them call us fanatics and let them say we're screwballs. But let us get so wrapped up in this book and so in love with this book and so wrapped up with Him and so in love with Him that our joy, our fun, our happiness, our thrill, our excitement will come from Him. Complete in Christ. That's what we need. Complete in Christ. There's another meaning of the word. It means a perfect fit. A perfect fit. No alterations necessary when you find everything in Christ. Actually, it means no accessories needed. Brother Fisk, if you've got a $250 Hickey Freeman suit, why go down to the Goodwill and buy some cufflinks? I mean, if you've got a $175 Eagle suit, why go down to the Hammond City Rescue Mission and get a shirt and tie to go with it? When Jesus saves you, He forgives your sins and writes your name in heaven, but He also gives you every accessory you need to the Christian life. All of it. All of it. I mean, boy, He gives you the robe of righteousness, but more than that, He gives you a shirt to match and tie to go with the shirt and socks to go with the tie and shoes to go with the socks. I mean, boy, He gives you the t-shirt and the underwear and all of it. He just decks you out like that. By the way, He got that in Egypt. I saw Him go down and get it. That's what I'm talking about. No, I'm not either. But I'm saying that Paul is saying here, he's saying, if you get your house so full of the furnishings that Christ gives you, you won't want any other furnishings from Egypt. And if you get yourself so wrapped up in the garment that He gives you, you won't want to accessorize. He gives you all the accessories. The cufflinks, He gives you the socks, He gives you the shoes, He gives you the entire garment. There's nothing else needed. Look, when you come to Christ, you have in Christ everything in this world to make you the happiest of anybody in the whole world. I dare you to find anybody happier than I am. I haven't had a drink of whiskey in several days. I feel sorry for you people. You know one reason you're miserable tonight? One reason you got to go out and get drunk to try to get over this sermon. I mean, I feel sorry for you folks that just you can't wait till you get out because you just got to get some, you know, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate you got to make him wait because you got to have another cigarette. I feel sorry for you folks that find you come to church because you feel like you ought to go to church. And I'm going to go if it kills me, and I'm going to go sit there. The seats are hard, and the preacher's loud, and the sermon's long. But I've got to go. I'm supposed to go, and I'm going to go. You know, we got a heap of people right here in this auditorium that wish we'd stayed 11:30 tonight. Amen. Amen. Right. Why? Because they found their joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their joy in the body of Christ. Their happiness, their peace, their satisfaction. All they want. They found completeness in Him. There's nobody so miserable as people who come to Christ just to get salvation and take off down to Egypt to get all their joy and their fun. In the first place, with the gas shortage, you just shouldn't travel that much. Perfect fit. Once you have a Hickey Freeman suit, no need for the Goodwill accessories. Once you wear the heavenly garment, there's no need for Egyptian accessories. And once you come to Christ for salvation, if you just look around, you look at that tree, and you survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, and your richest gain you count but loss, and pour your contempt on all your pride. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small.
love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. When you look at that tree and you find in that tree forgiveness of sin, and all of a sudden the load is lifted and you say, blessed be God. The fellow came down the aisle this morning and he got about the third row from the front and he just started crumbling. And by the time he got to me, he was on his knees and he was crying. And he couldn't tell me what he wanted, and the soul winner came and got him converted. And he found relief and all the sweet conviction we had this morning. Men, grown men all over this altar receiving Christ, and an entire family is getting saved. And you come to Calvary and you say, oh, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Roll away, roll away, roll away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. And you realize for the first time in your life, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Sins forgiven. Name in heaven. A new creature in Christ. All because of that tree in God's name. Don't leave that tree till you check the bushes around it. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved. And one of these days, if you'll check carefully, you'll find that you'll have more fun at that tree than all the other trees in the world. You'll find that wrapped up in that bundle that comes of salvation, you'll find joy and happiness and peace. And you'll listen, these young people over here, God bless them. Do you know what? most of our kids don't date. Oh, they have dates. So when tonight. Most of these kids in this section over here tonight, most of them. How many kids were out soul winning last night? Stand up. Would you all the kids out soul winning last night? Stand up. Thank you, kids. Be seated. That's what I'm talking about. You think these kids last night, huh? You think they said, oh, I sure would like to go to see Marilyn Monroe and I'm sorry, the late Marilyn Monroe. I sure would like to go see. I don't know who the movie stars are. Last time I went to the movie, Tom Mix was playing. But you think this kid last night, I just got to go to soul. Listen, the most excited and exciting teenagers in this area last night walked right up here to go soul winning. One of our young girls came to my office after soul winning and she said, Brother Hiles, I hadn't won anybody for a while, but I won a young person. And then I won a 55-year-old man who's going to walk out at our church. And then I won two more. And last week, a little girl came to my office. I don't think I should say this, but I'm going to. Nobody knows who she is but her parents and me and her. She's been on dope. And I've cried over her. And I've prayed with her. And I've tried to help her. And I met with her and I've talked to her every week. And for almost a year, she was on dope. And I asked her what she was going to do when she graduated from high school. And she said, I'm going to get a car and just travel over the country where I want to go. And I said, there's something better to life than that. And she said, that's what I want to do. And her face would be brazen. And I hoped and I tried and I prayed. And during the youth conference, she came and got right with God. I didn't know about it. She came to my office and she's here tonight and she's smiling like a little, coon dog just treat a coon. Of course, most of you folks don't know anything about the deeper things of God. She came off and I didn't know she'd gotten right. And she came in and said, I hadn't seen you for a while. Just dropped by and a big smile on her face. And I said, oh, come in. Glad to see you. And she said, I got right at the youth conference that Thursday night. And she said, it's all over now and everything's new. And then she said, I went out soul winning last night and won my first soul ever to Jesus Christ. Oh, I will. Listen, all the narcotics in this world can't give the thrill and the joy that you get when you come and say, dear Jesus, I don't care if you're 17 or 70, dear Jesus, I want to find in you everything, all my joy, all my fun, all my pleasure, I want to find it in you. Oh, if you just turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, the things of this world would grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I know you can't understand this. I know most of you think I'm a nut, and you only come back because you like me and you feel sorry for nuts. I know that's true. But you know I love you. You know I want what's best for you. God knows you kids. I'm so thrilled. I couldn't begin to tell you. Some of you are beginning to find what this scripture teaches. Complete in Christ. You found more joy in going soul winning on Saturday night than you found in all the dates you used to have and all the parties you used to go to. And things are not bad to do. And you're finding what it means complete in Christ, complete in Christ, complete in Christ. And I say again, you moms and dads don't have to go outside the body of Christ to have your fun. You don't have to go outside the body of Christ. You have a perfect fit. And I have to say, the fifth thing this word means is a full course meal. A full course meal. When God saves you, He does more than just saves you. He gives you a full course meal. He gives you all the vitamins you need. You don't have to go down. You know, when God gives you, saves you, He gives you all the vitamins, all the health. He doesn't give you any coffee, but He gives you all you need. A full course meal. You don't need anything else. There's enough here, and He gives it to you. Now let me say quickly, complete in Christ. Salvation is complete in Christ. You don't need to add a thing. Salvation is in Him. I told you this morning a little bit, I have never seen a happier lady in my life than that lady I talked about this morning. On an airplane flying out to Alaska. And this little lady, 78, she was embroidering. And I started talking to her. She said, I've got to go to the restroom. Could you let me out, please? And I said, I'll finish your... No, she's knitting. I'll finish your knitting if you'd like. And she laughed and said, afraid you couldn't do it while I'm gone. And I said, I'm a pretty fast knitter. And so she laughed. She came back, and a fellow right in front of me across the aisle turned around. He said, are you Dr. Jack Hyles? And I said, yes, I am. A big 350-passenger plane. And he said, I live in Champaign, Illinois, and I've heard about you. And the lady said, are you a doctor? I said, no, ma'am, I'm a preacher. And I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? A wealthy lady. She was going to Alaska because she had built a library. She was going up there to dedicate a library that she and her husband had built. And I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? And she said, mister, she said, when I was 12, I joined a Methodist church. But she said, I have had the hardest time living good enough to go to heaven. And I said, lady, nobody lives good enough to go to heaven. But if I could tell you how bad people could get to heaven, you think you'd qualify? She said, mister, I'd qualify for being bad. She said, if bad folks could go to heaven, I could dead sure go. And I told her how that nobody's good and everybody's sinful and there's nobody by nature that deserves to go to heaven, and how that Jesus came and paid the penalty for sinners. And she said, you mean sinners can go to heaven? And I said, that's the only kind that Jesus came to save. He came to seek and to save the lost. And she said, you mean I don't have to be good to go to heaven? I said, you have to be saved to go to heaven. Then you get good because you're saved. And she said, you mean bad folks can go to heaven? I told her about that, the two men that came to the temple to pray. And one man said, I'm glad I'm not as he is. I'm glad I don't wear white suits. I'm glad I don't go out and lie on beaches like Fist does and get a suntan. And I'm glad. By the way, it's not a sin, Brother Fist, to go on the beach. Because when he gets out there in his bathing suit, nobody stays. And it's not mixed bathing. I told her how that God gave Jesus to save sinners, and how this rich man said, I'm thankful I'm not as he is. I fast and I'm a good man. And the poor publican beat on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, there's something about that last speech that I like better than the first. That man's going to go down to his house justified. She said, you mean the bad fellow went to heaven and the good fellow went to hell? I said, yeah, the fellow who never did tithe went to heaven. That's the case. A lot of you are dead sure going to make it. But the fellow who never did tithe went to heaven, and the fellow who tithed went to hell. I said, the fellow who was a dirty crook got saved, went to heaven. The fellow who was honest went to hell. I said, the man who was much better went to hell, and the man who was much worse went to heaven. She said, oh my, I never realized that. And she bowed her head on the plane, and she began to pray. And she got saved, and she got so happy. I want you to know, she kept mumbling. Just think, bad folks can go too. Bad folks can go too. And as I passed her in the airport, she was telling her married granddaughter she was going to visit. I heard her say one line. She said, and this fellow said, bad folks could get to heaven too. And she was so happy. She told Dave and Jim, who were on the plane with me, about the joy of her salvation. And she just rejoiced and thanked God. You don't add anything to salvation. It's not faith plus this baptistry up here. It's not faith plus this table down here. It's not faith plus the Holy Eucharist. It's not faith plus your own good works. It's not faith plus joining the church. Salvation is complete in Christ. All you do is realize you're a sinner, that Jesus did it all on the cross, and you say, dear Jesus, I want to be saved. And you come to Him and trust what He did, not what you do. He forgives your sins, writes your name in heaven, makes you His child, and takes you to heaven when you die. Complete in Christ in salvation. That isn't all. Complete in Christ in your activities. And I've mentioned this before. just mentioned. I'm thinking right now about a young man. And his family goes to church, and his mother and dad are here tonight. No doubt they're here tonight. A good young man. I was driving down the road about 11 o'clock one night, driving down Summer Street, and a fellow behind me started flashing his lights. Well, you'll forgive me, but if you have many enemies as I do, you don't stop when folks flash their lights. And then he started honking, and I sort of gunned it a little bit and sort of went a little faster. And then he pulled up beside me and honked, and I just kept on going faster. And finally, he pulled up in front of me and stopped. And I tried to get around him, and I couldn't get around him. And I thought, uh-oh. And so I started saying, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. And sure as shooting, it's a deacon going to kill me. I know it is. And a fella got out, and he had long hair, and he had a beard. One of our boys that grew up here, and I loved him. And he said, preacher, he said, God's about to kill me. He said, I've got to get right. My heart's burning, and I've got to get right with God. And he did. I started having weekly appointments with him. He came to my office every week. Now listen to me. He got right. He walked down this aisle. He went soul winning. He brought his old buddies here. Many of them got saved. One of the finest boys we have. But I said, now look, and called his name. I said, you play in the baseball league, the public baseball league, don't you? He said, yes, I do. A good ball player. I said, quit it. Quit it. Why? He said, it's my life. It's my whole life. I said, quit it. He said, why? I said, because that's the crowd you've been running with, and that's the crowd that'll drag you down. He said, what's wrong playing baseball? I said, nothing. Nothing wrong playing baseball. But I said, you need to be consumed with God's people now, and you don't need to be with the old crowd. He told me he did, but he didn't. And he kept playing. And tonight, he's right back in the same hole he was digged from. There's another young man about the same time named Moffitt over here. One of the best pitchers, probably the best freshman pitcher Hammond High School ever had. One of our boys. He came one day to my office and said, I need to get right with the Lord. I don't know what to do. I'm perplexed. And I told him, I said, quit your pitching for Hammond High School and go to Hammond Baptist High School. He said, but I love baseball and I don't want to quit. And I said, now, I love baseball too. Nothing wrong with baseball. But I'm saying, if you have to go to Egypt to play baseball, it'd be better to play tiddlywinks in the promised land. And he said, okay. He came to Hammond Baptist High School. He turned his back on, no doubt, a lucrative professional baseball offer he could have had. He came to my office the other day, and he said, I'm going to give everything I have to God. Everything I have. He's president of the senior class, Hammond Baptist High School, next year. He's one of the finest soul winners you'll ever see. Now, what was the difference in this fella and the other fella? One quit his worldly baseball league, and the other didn't. That's all. I met with both of them every week. You say, I think you're a fool. I think you are too. I know too much about what causes folks to go back. That one little contact you have with the world, that one little club you don't quit, that one little motorcycle club, that one little bowling league in the world, that one little garden club in the world. Why? Because they laugh at you when you become what you ought to become. If you can get complete in Christ, you can find enough activities. Let me tell you something. You parents, how many of you parents live over 5 miles away from this church? Wouldn't you, and how many of you have teenagers? Wouldn't you agree that there are enough activities going on out here for kids? Huh? How many of you have got your license for taxi drivers yet? Huh? You drive down here and you drive back and you drive down, you drive back and you drive down, and you drive back. I go out of here sometimes on Friday night about 10:15 or 10:30 and I see you parents sitting out there just waiting. Same old parents. I saw a fellow, one of our deacons, sitting on a curb out of the night. And he's out there most every Friday night, too. You know why? Youth activities. God bless you parents that run these kids to and from the church. You know what, kids? In this church, you have all the activities and all the fun you'll ever need to have. And it will guarantee you that you can grow up and be what you ought to become. Complete in Christ. Same is true with fun.
Same is true with friends. Same is true with your mate. Just find your completeness in Christ. Let me tell you something. I've got a long ways to go. But I want to tell you, when I first began preaching, I loved softball. I was a semi-professional softball pitcher. You've heard me tell it, many of you. I used to pitch. I had all kinds of pitches. In fact, I dreamed last night of pitching another game. Woke up my arm sore this morning. But I loved to pitch softball. I had a trick pitch. I could pitch like that behind my back, and I had a pitch where I could pitch but under my leg like that. And then I had other pitches too. I loved softball. I loved it. When I was in the Army, all during softball season, I didn't have to do a thing except once a day go get a rub down at the medics, and I pitched for the post softball team wherever I was. I loved it. Started pitching softball when I was a little boy. I had an in curve, an out curve, and a rise ball, and a drop, and a fastball. I pitched one 22-inning game one time, struck out 35 batters in 22 innings, pitched the entire 22 innings, and the score was tied 2-2, and we called the game at the end of 22 innings. I pitched 4 no-hit games 1 year and 6 one-hit games in 1 year and 1 18-hit game. But I love softball. When I went away to college, East Texas Baptist College, I was called to pastor a church out the edge of town. They heard that I was a softball pitcher. How they found it, I don't know. The TNP Railway came out. The TNP Railway Eagles in the City League came out and said, "We heard your pitcher. Would you pitch for us?" I was looking the other day at Mother's house and some clippings of some games. A one-hit game I pitched, and I was pitching for the championship in the City League in Marshall, Texas, and pastoring a church. All of a sudden, one of our players hit a ball, and the first baseman dropped it, and the ball was laying behind him, but the umpire didn't see it, and the umpire called our man out, and the ball wasn't even the first baseman's glove, a great big, tall, husky first baseman. And I said, "Umpire, the first baseman dropped the ball. You didn't see it. Ask him." And the umpire said, "Did you drop the ball?" And that big liar said, "No." "Well," I said, "you did. You know you did." But he said, "Too bad. I didn't." And I said, "Okay. Okay. You wait till you're up next time. You're going to get it right in the temple." Championship game. Championship game. He got up. He was left-handed. Never forget it. And I had pretty good control, too. And I aimed for his temple. And I could throw a ball harder underhanded than most baseball pitchers can throw it overhanded. And boy, I got that thing. And it went right to his temple. He ducked out of the way, and the bat hit the ball. Would you believe where it went? It dribbled down the first baseline. I had to field it right on the line. And there I went after the ball, and there he went after me. And we collided on the first baseline. I got my glove. I walked out and I put it on the mound. Put the ball in the glove. Walked and got in the car. That's the last pitch I've ever pitched in a league. I said, "I'm not going to lose my temper in front of my people, in front of the town. I'm trying to win to Christ. I'm not going to do it." And I love sports. Honestly, I love sports. I've been praying all night for the Cubs lately. They need our prayers. That's the only hope they've got. And by the way, the White Sox have already committed the sin unto death. There's no use in praying for them. But I love sports. And I couldn't go to a ball game. I couldn't. I wanted to play. I had a big league. The old Brooklyn Dodger outfit offered me a contract when I was a kid to sign I would have played in the big leagues to start off with. I'd have played in a little minor league down in Texas. But they offered me a contract, the Brooklyn Dodgers, if I'd signed a contract. I love sports. I love sports. Oh, I love them. But I mean this, and I don't want you to think I'm sanctimonious. Do you know there are times in my room on a motel across the country when there's a ball game on? And I just turn it off because I want to be with him. I found something better. I love to have fun. I know you think I'm sort of a screwball in the nut, sort of an oddball. I'm 46 years old.
I'd rather read this book than all of the magazines on all the shelves in all the bookstores in America. You know what I want? I want Jesus to get from me what he made me for. I want him to say, here comes old Jack again. I love to be with him because he loves to be with me. I told you about when I was at the shopping center, Montgomery Ward's the other day. A family of five walked up. Three big tall teenagers, all of them over 5'10", I guess. Two boys over 6 feet. The girl said to the mother, said, who's he? Is he football coach at Gavitt High School? Mother said, no. Said, that's Reverend Hiles, First Baptist Church. And they all began to snicker. And the girl said, look what I can do. And she spit in my face. And I wiped the spittle off. And the boy said, I've got big boy. I got better aim than that. And the parents were laughing at him. I got better aim than that. He spit in my face. He said, I can hit him right on the nose. And he had perfect aim. And the other teenage boy said, I can do that too. And all three of them spat in my face. And the parents laughed. And all five of them laughed and said, hey, think about that. I didn't want to think about it. Doesn't bother me a bit. You know why? I'm on a honeymoon. I'm on a honeymoon. I got a love letter here. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Brother Terry, while I was down at your church the other day, I drove over to Marshall, and I got in the same old pine thicket where one night I got on my face with this book. And I said, dear book of God, you'll be my pastor. I'll preach you and I'll love you and I'll learn you and I'll memorize you and I'll read you and I'll find my strength from you and I won't take the garbage of this world. You'll be my pastor in my life and my book. And I went back to the same little clump of pine trees and knelt in the same little spot. And I said, oh, blessed book of God, what a wonderful pastor you've been through all these years. Oh, you listen to me. You listen to me. You listen to me. If you're one of these Christians and has to go back to Egypt to have a good time, maybe you won't be sinning, but you're missing the greatest joy in this world. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on mine ear. That's what I'm talking about. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you found your completeness in Christ? Huh? Have you found in Christ all you need? Oh, young people, you mark my word. If you will find completeness in Christ, you'll have the happiest, richest, fullest life of any young people in all the world. Moms and dads, if you just find in Christ your completeness, oh, to know him better, oh, to walk closer to him, oh, to stay in his book more, just so fill up your life with his furnishings, you won't have time for the Egypt's furnishings. And just fill up every room with him until there be no vacancy for the world to even enter. And just fill the table with what he has to offer, the bundle of myrrh and the bundle of delights he has to offer, and you won't have any hunger a great deal for what the world offers. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. That's all. You think those fellows there at the upper room that night when our Lord sat at the table, you think they were tempted to go anywhere to the world? No, Jesus was at the table. You think when John used to lay his head on his bosom, he wanted to go anywhere else? No, he found so much joy with his head resting on that bosom, he didn't want anything else. I wonder, have you been shopping in the world, shopping centers, trying to eat garbage from the world when you got God's filet mignons at the banquet table completely furnished? Have you been going down to the Goodwill of the Rescue Mission for your spiritual clothing when you've got Hickey Freeman suits that God has given you with all the accessories? I long for you. I long for you to know Him. I long for you to walk with Him. I long for you to find in this book all that you need. I long for you to get to know Him and let Him know you. I long to have some people who come to this service here when I get up and preach and I say, it's wonderful to walk with God. I long for your breast to beat a little faster and I long for you to say, amen. I know it. I've been walking with Him this week. I've been walking with Him.